Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us. It's our joy and the purpose of this broadcast to get you involved with the issues of the day, issues that are biblical, issues that should be of interest to every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot under the sound of my voice. We're living in perilous times. The 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, says, reminds us, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then it goes on to elaborate and to tell us what those perilous times will look like. We're seeing them. We're living in them. But I want us to understand we ought not to be discouraged. We ought not to lose hope. There should be no reason, no rational, biblical reason for any Christian to simply decide to give up, toss in the towel, and to surrender the ship, as I would call it, to those today that would have us to believe that somehow, some way, we've lost the election, that we've lost the cause, and it's all for naught. I've had the privilege of talking with a number of people in the past several months, and in the past several weeks in particular, I'm finding more and more believers that somehow, some way, may feel that God is able to meet the need in every category except this election, that somehow, some way, God has abandoned us. Well, Nehemiah didn't know anything about that. Nehemiah, as we're going to see in just a moment, is our introduction to what we're wanting to say today. In the 4th chapter of Nehemiah, he challenged his people, and he said in that challenge, our God shall fight for us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Our God shall fight for us. We're going to look at what's happening. We're going to look at the reality of it. But we're going to look at what is possible with God's intervention. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. He goes further by saying in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So I want us to focus on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, the truth book, the source book of truth. Jesus says, I am truth. Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's speaking of the word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, if you've not paid attention, let me draw your attention to the fact that the media is not concerned about the truth. The media is not concerned about telling us the truth. If the media were telling us the facts today and the truth today, we would have reason to recognize that this election is not over, that this election is not near the finality. But ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of years ago, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what is taking place today. It is a challenge of the truth. In fact, Fox News, by the way, if I can tuck this in at this point, and we'll talk about it also a little later in the broadcast. It was a sad, sad scenario to find that Fox News has abandoned anything called truth in relationship to this election. They're adamantly opposed to President Trump and the potentiality of winning this election. But ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about truth, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I pray that's what you're doing. I pray that today you're encouraged to stand on the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth, and defend the truth. And there'll come a day, and I really believe that in our lifetime, there'll come a day before the rapture of the church. There'll come a day that Christians will be called upon, their lives will be placed on the line to stand for the truth and defend the truth. And so I pray that you're doing that even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power generation backup equipment for the hurricane season, as well as a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about lawn care power equipment for the lawn, for the homeowner, as well as for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It is the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. American flag flying on a pole about 165 feet there. It's flowing 24/7. Find Old Glory, that flag. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being hoodwinked, if I can use that term. It's almost like the Pravda socialist communist news media now includes Fox News, by the way. Because we no longer can depend on Fox for any modicum of real news. We, the people, are not hearing what I call the serious successes that President Trump is having in the main battleground states, Georgia and Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, et cetera, et cetera. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we as Christians, we as conservatives, may I suggest that we ought not to give up. We ought not to surrender. We ought not to say it's a hopeless cause. I'm finding more and more Christians will say, well, you know, I hate to say it, but Biden won. Nothing we can do about it. Oh, no. The battle's not over. The battle's not even partially over. The battle's not complete. And the victory's not yet won. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind us of two or three things very briefly before we introduce our guest today and have some dialogue in relationship to what we as Christians ought to do, how we need to respond. But yet we want to look at it honestly and with clear eyes as to what is taking place. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, when we study the scripture, the book of Nehemiah in particular, God called Nehemiah to build a wall around Jerusalem. The walls and the gates had lain in ruins for some 100+ years. And Nehemiah got word of that, and he wept and he prayed and he fasted and asked God, what should he do? And God gave him directions. And as a result of that, Nehemiah challenged the people. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, he challenged the people to build a wall. He knew he couldn't do it alone. He knew he had to have those workers standing shoulder to shoulder. And you find the coordination of the workers in the third chapter of the book of Nehemiah. But in the second chapter, you find that the people said, let us rise up and build. They're willing to take a stand regardless of the cost. They're willing to take a stand by the one that's leading them. And standing, holding his hands up, holding his arms up, and standing to carry out the task. As a result of that, as you study the sixth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, ladies and gentlemen, you find that there were 49,942 people that stood with Nehemiah, and ultimately they were successful in carrying out the work of rebuilding the wall. And I challenge us to that today. I challenge us for the fact that Nehemiah, with all of the things that were taking place, he still was successful in carrying out the task. And I believe it's as a result of his being a prayer warrior. I believe it was as a result of the people standing with him. I believe it was as a result of them believing God, as a result of continuing to work. They were working. They could not become distracted, disillusioned, dismayed, or discouraged because they kept on doing the work that God had called Nehemiah to lead the people to do. They kept on working. and the ultimate success in carrying out the task that God called them to do. In the fourth chapter of Nehemiah, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we want us to go as a transition to talking about the reality of this election. But I'm wanting to challenge us today as Christians. Stop being afraid. Stop being weak-minded. Stop tossing in the towel. Stop waving the white flag of surrender. This battle is not over. We're just now entering into the full fray of the battle. And only the strong are going to stand and face the enemy and see the victory. God shows us in the book of Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. Let me just give you a little overview, a little chronology of the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and the people faced criticism, derision, deception, a full in-your-face, full-blown conspiracy from the enemies. And it lists all of the enemies in there. And today, ladies and gentlemen, may I say, the socialist, Marxist, communist, BLM, Democrats, and all of the Biden advocates are doing the same thing. It's the conspiracy to overthrow an election. It's the derision that's being placed now through the news media today. It's the challenge and the, if you please, the criticism that's taking place today. And may I remind you, studied the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you find that anything that we do, our involvement will be criticized. Our little inabilities may be criticized. Our intentions will be certainly criticized. The impossible task will be criticized. And the inadequacies that we have will be criticized. And that's what they were doing with Nehemiah. And he withstood them and was able to successfully build a wall in 52 days with 49,942 people that had a mind to work and a willingness to stand. And Nehemiah challenged them, said, "Our God will fight for us." And that's my challenge today. Our God will fight for us. Some of the rhino never-Trumpers are calling on our president to concede and simply surrender the ship. We're going to talk about that today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have as our guest Mike Hill. Mike is the former Republican representative from the 1st District in the state of Florida. I still call him Congressman. I have great admiration and respect for Mike because of his conservative stand, because of his Christian stand, and his willingness, ladies and gentlemen, to stand in the face of the enemies, even those in the so-called conservative party, to stand for truth and to stand for the Lord, stand for the family, and for the faith and our freedom. Mike, it is a delight to have you on board with us today, and I'm looking forward to the dialogue and discussion that we have. We want to be honest with our listeners as to where we stand, what's happening, but we want to first and foremost let our listeners understand that we're not going to toss in the towel. We ought not to just surrender the ship. But thank you for being with us on this broadcast today.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And I'll tell you, Nehemiah 4:14 is one of my life verses, and I know it from memory. And it starts off like this. Nehemiah is speaking. He said, "I observed what was happening around me. And I stood up and I said to the nobles and to the princes and to all the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember your God who is mighty and awesome. And fight for your brothers, fight for your sons, fight for your wives, your daughters, and your household." And that's where we are right now, Dr. Youngblood. Amen. We're in a position where we have the enemy who is trying to cast doubt and fear into God's people and say, like Sanballat would say, "Hey, come down off that wall. Let's go talk about this for a little while." No. We are going to finish the task that is before us. And as Christians, we should not throw in the towel. Like you said, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard pastors say, "Well, you know, in 4 years, we'll have the House and the Senate, and maybe we can take back the presidency then." No, we never lost it. If you count all the legal votes and discount all the illegal votes, President Trump won this election in a landslide.
Yes, and one of the things that I'm looking at an article, Congressman, that says President Trump is simply suing to stop the counting of bogus ballots. And the article goes on to say, as the American public waits, confused and annoyed that there is no presidential winner, Democrats insist that we should just be patient, that the turmoil is normal, The post-election limbo is a deliberate creation of the Democratic Party. In the months leading up to the election, the Democratic National Committee and allied groups blanketed swing states with armies of lawyers filing suits to challenge the voter ID laws, signature verification laws, and more than anything else, the deadlines for the mail-in ballots, as if elections should no longer have deadlines, but instead be staged as a rolling, never-ending process, end quote. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, Mike, is that we have the philosophy and the attitude that this is okay and that we ought not to worry about it, that Joe Biden is going to win in the end. But while all of the dastardly deeds, all of the illegal acts have been taking place for the past 6 or 8 months in setting the stage for this illegal election, but one of the things that is annoying to me, and I want you to address it, notice, I don't know if people noticed it or not, when Biden speaks on several occasions recently, he's speaking in front of a banner behind him, a wall banner that basically says, "The office of president-elect," as though he's coming across with some official position. Joe Biden is not vice president, is not president-elect. This title is sometimes used only after the Electoral College vote confirms the election. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. You know, that term, president-elect, was never used until Obama came into office. There is no such thing as president-elect. You don't find it in the Constitution. You don't find it in any of the founding documents. You don't find it in any state laws. There is no such thing as president-elect. It is something that our false media and those on the left are doing to continue this web of deception.
One of the things that, and that's exactly right, and it's to give the aura of power, authority, and then demanding that the GSA provide $6 to $10 million for his transition team, and that ought not to be done for any presidential candidate until the Electoral College, which is December the 14th, if I'm not mistaken, cast their ballots and determine that he is, in fact, the president. And then the GSA is to fund the transition. The transition normally would not start in full force until after the 10th, the 14th of December, normally. But let's talk about what we know is taking place. For example, the Georgia votes are now being, is very, very close, now being hand counted. And one of the things that our listeners may not understand is, because the media has done a shutout on it, address the subject of these multiple suits across the nation. We don't need to talk about them one by one, but in general, how many suits have been filed, how many states approximately, and what is going to be the foreseeable outcome, and why should we not worry about it? What do we view as the – it'll ultimately go to the Supreme Court – what would you view the Supreme Court's decision will ultimately be, Congressman? As you see it, what would be your call? What's taking place? Because the media is not telling the listening audience. The listening audience at this moment does not realize how close the votes are now, and especially in the ballot, the battleground states, and what is happening with some of the court cases. Speak to that for us.
Yes, what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, for example, in Pennsylvania, there was support challenge to separate the ballots that were received on election day from those ballots that were received after election day. Because even according to Pennsylvania's own law, ballots received after election day are not valid. You can't count them. And so the U.S. Supreme Court ordered that to be done, separation of those ballots, and then count how it should be, because as we all know, on election night, President Trump was ahead by hundreds of thousands of votes. And then all of a sudden, it flipped, and they said it goes to Biden. Well, not when you separate the legal from the illegal ballots. We also know that in North Carolina, that they have predicted that President Trump is going to win North Carolina. Last I saw, this is about a day, maybe 2 days ago, I've been traveling the past 2 days, was that he was up in North Carolina by like 80,000 votes, and he only had 9,000 more votes to count. So they said, President Trump.
You're on that, in fact, touching on that statement, I'm looking at an article. Decision Desk HQ calls North Carolina for Trump. It goes on to say, Trump has challenged the results of the post-election battle that remains unresolved. North Carolina's 15 electoral votes, votes that Trump could need in his if he continues his challenge in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Currently, this article says, and it was 2 days ago, 3 days ago, currently Biden, let's see, currently Trump leads Biden by 73,300 votes in North Carolina, according to the Fayetteville Observer newspaper. If I were Biden, folks, I would write North Carolina off, said the newspaper, the Fayetteville Observer. And now that number, as you said, is over 80,000 positive for President Trump. You don't hear that on the news. You don't hear it on the news that Alaska has been called for President Trump. It's not but five electoral votes. But between Alaska and North Carolina, that's 20 electoral votes that the media is not even giving him on any big board or any reports at all. It's as though these things are not taking place. It's in a vacuum.
That's right. And we also know that in Arizona, Trump, last I saw yesterday, President had pulled within 12,500 votes of Biden, but there were still 40,000 votes to count. And those are coming from conservative counties. So, and you haven't heard about that in our media. So it looks like that Arizona, which was falsely called for Joe Biden, is actually going to be for President Trump. Then we know in Wisconsin and in Michigan, where the fraud is so blatant that you deny it at all, where we are seeing electronically votes being changed right before our eyes. We can see it. And it was done by a program called Hammer that uses a software called Scorecard, which can electronically change votes. That's being challenged right now in Michigan and in Wisconsin, to where you can see visibly how votes that had gone for President Trump suddenly flipped over to Biden. Or how we can see in those states, Michigan, I believe it was, where 100% of the ballots that came in, there were several tens of thousands that came in, were all for Joe Biden, not one for Trump. And Biden was the only mark on the ballot. No one down on the ballot was marked at all. They were just marked for Biden and no one else. Even mathematically and statistically, that is impossible to happen. The fraud
Absolutely.
Is so
obvious. In fact,
obvious.
I'm looking at the article that speaks of that. It's Sidney Powell, which is the super brilliant attorney that's handling this for President Trump. And this article says Sidney Powell claims the discovery of over 450,000 ballots in all of the key states with vote only for Biden, which is statistically impossible. Goes on to say, Attorney Sidney Powell claims the investigation team has identified over 450,000 ballots in the battleground states that cast only for a vote for only Biden. No candidates in the down ticket were voted for. Quote, we've identified at least 450,000 in the key states that miraculously somehow marked only for Joe Biden on them and no other candidates. And it goes on to talk about the improbability, the impossibility mathematically of that taking place. But one of the things, Congressman, that I am encouraged by, and I want our listeners to be encouraged by, is the fact that these suits are filed, not as in vendetta, not as a vindictive approach, not as trying to hang on to an office as that's been claimed in relationship to their challenge against Trump, that he just does not want to leave office. And even Joe Biden has recently said that they need to put together a military team to go in and remove President Trump from office. It's setting the stage for what they'd really like to do. And one of the things that I can fast forward a moment, when everything is said and done, and President Trump is vindicated as the winner in the race, we're going to find major, major catastrophic responses from the team and the group that says that they're the ones that's going to bring about peace and unify America. That's an impossibility. Congressman, hang in there. We've got a caller on the line. Wesley, go ahead with your call or comments, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood and Representative Hill, thank you all so much for bringing the Holy Spirit and y'all's wisdom to bear on this distressing subject. I would like to ask if y'all would consider, as we wait, and I am sure that things are going to work out according to the Lord's will, and I believe, in fact, News Talk 1100 WCGA has called President Trump as the next president of the United States, so that is a positive thing, in my opinion. So not all the news media is calling Biden he is a usurper, Dr. Youngblood, and the enemy, the devil, is a usurper. And so I just wanted to mention that to y'all. And, you know, we talk about denial of service attacks on Internet websites, and we are required or asked or encouraged to pray for those who despitefully use us. I would submit for y'all's consideration the following. There are four jurisdictions where people who are in charge of the elections have chosen to usurp the will of the people in America: Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, Madison, Wisconsin, and I believe it was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So those four cities are the problem. And those people have despitefully used us, and I want to encourage y'all to think about encouraging your listeners to call and pray for on the air, on the phone, the people who are in charge of the Board of Elections in those jurisdictions, because we're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us as Christians, and those people need Jesus, and so that might be a positive step that we could take. What do y'all think about that?
Congressman, I'll let you respond first, and then I'll follow.
I think he's making an excellent point. We are to pray for those. The Bible tells us that. Pray for those in authority. Now, the question is, what do you pray about? What do you pray for? And what we should pray for is that justice be done, that wisdom be given to those who are trying to prevent this, and I love the word you use, the usurpation of this election, that wisdom will be given to those who are trying to prevent this so that justice will prevail. And that's what I think we should pray for. Now, praying for their salvation, of course, we pray for everyone's salvation. The Lord does not take pleasure in that any should perish. We know that some will, but God takes no pleasure in that. So we should pray for their salvation, and that is between that individual and the Holy Spirit, who touches their heart daily, asking to come in, and let's pray that they will respond and let the Holy Spirit in.
Absolutely. If I can just tie on to that in our closing moment before the top of the hour news break, we need to pray for them, but we need to pray that they would get saved, because without salvation, the wisdom they have is earthly wisdom, which is man's wisdom, which is earthly, sensual, and demonic. And the wisdom from God is that which is the wisdom that they need to use to make decisions for the betterment of the people of the United States of America. So we need to pray, number one, they get saved. Number two, if they're not saved, that God will remove them, that there can be the movement of God to turn this election around. This election, ladies and gentlemen, is the key to the future of America, for the future of Christianity, for the future of our Bill of Rights, for the future of our freedoms and liberties. So, Wesley, you're exactly right, and thank you so much for your comment. Keep on praying. Keep on looking up. Jesus is coming soon, and I pray that our listeners will understand the need for our prayer, but at the same time, the need, just as in the book of Nehemiah, to challenge the people. Nehemiah challenged them, and they said, let us rise up and build. So as Christians and as conservatives in America, we need to say, let us stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We'll be right back. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, and we're going to continue this conversation, what we need to do in relationship to what we see happening in this election. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.